The events of 1938 had left ER's world, all that she cared about personally and politically, in disarray. Now, on every front, 1939 ushered in a dangerous and frightening reality. She began the year with the clear recognition that the times called for fortitude and boldness. At home, things continued to spiral downward. Over 10 million Americans were still unemployed, farm prices were low, and recession conditions prevailed. Yet every domestic program the Roosevelts supported had come under vicious attack. It seemed to ER and her allies that America had become bored with the poor, the unemployed, the insecure. Indeed, congressional opposition to New Deal reforms had intensified. FDR's effort to purge conservative Democrats during the 1938 midterm elections, especially in the South, had backfired as anti-New Deal Democrats and Republicans won major victories. There were now 13 new Republican governors, 8 new Republican senators, and 81 new Republican congresspeople, up from 88 to 170. Representing the first significant GOP gains in 10 years. Although Democrats maintained a two-thirds majority in the Senate and a significant congressional majority, they were severely divided among themselves. Fortified by the election of right-wing politicians, members of both parties declared war on FDR, his progressive vision, and the very idea of a permanent New Deal. ER became the obsessive focus of vitriolic commentary, especially concerning her support for civil rights, racial justice, working women, and radical youth. Internationally, global peace was endangered as fascists triumphed in Europe. Brutal dictators led by the Mad Dog of Europe, as Adolf Hitler was increasingly known, orchestrated war, war everywhere. In Spain, General Francisco Franco's forces, aided in part by the Anglo-American arms embargo, were in ascendance over the Loyalists. In Munich, in September 1938, British and French appeasers sought to ensure peace in our time by sacrificing democratic Czechoslovakia to Hitler's demands. The United States was becoming more isolationist, yet FDR was certain that catastrophe was imminent. But life went on during the December 1938 holidays as the White House filled with children, grandchildren, and extended family. A rare debutante party for ER's eldest niece, her brother Hall's daughter Eleanor, known to history as Eleanor Roosevelt II, was scheduled for 2 days after Christmas. For this first White House debutante dance since Helen Taft's party in 1910, ER planned a festive occasion. ER was delighted to celebrate her niece, in part to atone for having suddenly recalled her from Paris in October. ER II had begun a year of study abroad, but due to FDR's fears of impending crisis in Europe, her aunt and uncle had ordered her home. Deeply disappointed, 19-year-old Eleanor had returned to the home of her mother, Margaret Richardson Roosevelt Cutter, in Dedham, Massachusetts. But when Eleanor offered to host her coming-out ball, joy returned. In Washington, surrounded by cousins, Roosevelts, Delanos, Alsops, the children of cabinet members and her two brothers, Henry and Daniel, ER II, charming and elegant in an all-white ruffled frock of French organdy, was escorted to the sparkling East Ballroom by her father and her aunt. As Benny Goodman's band played, Aunt Eleanor danced with my father. They were a striking pair, both of them tall and good dancers. It was all very thrilling and wonderful.